We've been working on a series on spiritual warfare, and we're going to try and wrap that up today for part five of that. For those of you that don't want to write them down, I do have some extra copies of the scriptures we'll go through today. Decker's got five copies or so, so if you'd like a copy, just raise your hand and Decker will bring you one. But it's a list of the scriptures we're going to go through today, as well as some topical paragraphs. We talked through the blood of Jesus and its importance in spiritual warfare. We also talked about the organizational structure of powers, principalities. We talked through some of the strongholds, the spiritual strongholds, like Babylon. We talked through some of the rulers in dark places, like Leviathan and Jezebel. We talked about binding and loosing. And now we put it all together. And what does this really come to in your day-to-day walk? Well, we're to go out into the world and preach Jesus Christ. But when Jesus did this, he was often met with opposition. You see, Satan doesn't want to see a single soul slip from his grasp. He wants to have a lot of company where he's going. And he's going to fight for each and every one of those souls that are out there. And sure, we can talk and we can present the gospel, but there's a spiritual battle going on for that soul. In Luke this morning, we read in chapter 13 of a woman that had been put under a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. And Jesus healed her. And the priests there complained that he did it on the Sabbath. And he talked to them about, well, you go out and you loose your donkeys out into the field. Why shouldn't I on the Sabbath free this woman who's been bound for 18 years by the devil on the Sabbath? You might be saying, well, that's good and well for Jesus to go out and free those people. But what about others? Well, let's turn to Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called his 12 disciples to them, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Don't you find it odd that when Jesus sends his disciples out, he doesn't say, when I send you out, I'm going to give you all kinds of pamphlets so you can go door to door. I'm going to give you all kinds of scriptures for you to write down and take with you. No, he gives them authority to cast out demons, because he knew when they go out there and present Jesus Christ to the world, they're going to meet opposition from the devil. They're going to meet opposition in a spiritual front. And they needed to be able to deal with it. He repeats this in Luke 9:1. It's just a cross-reference to the same incident, as well as in Mark 6:7. But you might be saying, well, that was the disciples. Okay, so we have Jesus could do it, the disciples could do it, they're donned and gone. What about me? Well, let's go on. Let's look at Mark 16. Verse 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. We believe that. If you believe and you're baptized, you'll be saved, right? That applies to you. Applies to me. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Okay, we can stand on that. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. When Jesus talks about the signs of a believer, he talks about casting out demons. And if you call yourself a believer, I'm going to say, where are your signs? Because it's not by faith alone, but also by works. Because I will show you through works, right? My faith. It says also will speak in new tongues. They'll pick up, take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. Let's go back to Old Testament now. Isaiah chapter 1. Verse 17. We are to learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. We're strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And if you're a Spider-Man fan, with great power comes great responsibility, right? So God's given this power to cast out demons. This power to deliver others from bondage. You going to do anything with it? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 3. You say, well, if I go out and present Jesus Christ, well, this isn't going to happen. I don't really need to know this stuff. I just need to know how to present Christ. But let's look here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. You see, Satan is out there in their lives trying to blind them from seeing the gospel. He's sending his minions out to those lost people in your life, and they're out there bringing infirmity, they're out there bringing pain, they're out there bringing suffering, they're out there bringing all kinds of different sinful thoughts to try and blind them from seeing the gospel. And when you go to present Jesus Christ to them, you're getting into spiritual warfare, whether you want to or not. Now, you can choose to ignore all of that, deliver your words, feel good about yourself, and go home, and you probably won't make a dent. Or you can recognize the fact that anytime you're presenting Jesus Christ to the lost, you're attacking on a spiritual war, on a spiritual front. And be prepared for it. When we sin, we're under a curse. There's well over 60 curses in the Old Testament and the New Testament upon man for what they do. Some of them go down generations. Let's take the sin of adultery. For 7 generations, the curse of that sin goes down. It's your great, 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 great grandchildren are under the curse of sin of adultery. These curses Satan uses for power over people. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law, are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. In other words, you break any of the law, you're under a curse. You're cursed. The lost are cursed. You were cursed before you knew Jesus Christ. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You see, we have Satan binding and tying up people in their sin because of the curse upon them. And until they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that curse is still upon them because they haven't accepted Him as the curse for them. He went to the cross and died. He became a curse for our sins, so that we wouldn't have to be cursed any longer. So when we come upon people that aren't saved, and we engage in this spiritual warfare, we have to understand that until they accept Jesus Christ, until they can understand that Jesus Christ can become the curse for them, they still have that curse upon them. So we might cast out a spirit. But when we cast out the Spirit, where does it go? Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. Now, we kind of touched on a brother passage to this last time in Luke, but we're going to look at Matthew's account of it. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 43. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. So you have this cursed individual. And let's say that you go in, you pray over him, you cast out the demons. And you clean up inside spiritually. You put things in order. But there's nothing there. If they don't accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, it's empty. And what it says is, the Spirit will go out into dry places. And then it will want to come back home. And if it comes back home and finds that place empty, it moves back in with seven more buddies. And that person is in worse condition than when they started out. You see, just casting out a demon doesn't release them from the curse. They have to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, who became a curse for them. Then the Holy Spirit moves in. That's not an empty place anymore. And when the spirits come back, they meet the Holy Spirit, who stands in opposition for them. You say, okay, well, those disciples, they were given power to cast out spirits. What are some examples of that? Well, let's turn to one of them that's not exactly their most stellar performance. Matthew chapter 17. Verse 14. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, Why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, Move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Now we have many accounts of the disciples going and casting out spirits. There's even accounts where they become overly prideful of this, and Jesus rebukes them on it. But in this situation, they weren't able to do it. Now Jesus first scolds them on it. It says, because of your unbelief, they weren't able to do this. So when we come across these spirits that are keeping people in bondage, if there's a part of us that even thinks this stuff isn't real, there's no such thing as spirits. We have unbelief. If we try to engage in spiritual warfare and our morale is already beaten down, we have unbelief. So it says we are to prayer and fast with this kind. What's the purpose of prayer and fasting? Let's take fasting. Because prayer, you ought to know. What's the purpose of fasting? Anybody? Okay, so you can get into a deep prayer, but what is fasting, I guess? What is to fast? You could don't eat, you give up something, right? You give up something your body wants and desires. Why? Yeah. To put the body under obedience because you want to say, Lord, it's nothing about me. It's about you. I'm willing to give up what my body wants, what my body craves, what my body desires. And then sometimes it can be painful. To show you, I want to be obedient to you. So the disciples needed to get their hearts straight. They needed to realize this is all under God's control and put themselves under the obedience of God and pray. You need to have that discernment to know what type of spirit you're dealing with. We talked about the differences between the spirit of Leviathan and way on the other end of it was the spirit of Jezebel. And they take different tactics to deal with them. So you need that prayer for that, but you also need to put yourself under God's obedience. And that's what the fasting was for. So prayer and fasting, when they're ready to set aside all that unbelief and say, God, you told me I could move a mountain. Do I believe it? Do I believe it? Is there any piece of unbelief inside of me, God? Because I'm about to engage in spiritual warfare, Lord, and I stand on your word. If there's any piece of unbelief in me, show it to me, Lord, so that I can work through that. Help my unbelief, is what the man said. We don't want to go in with a gun that's not loaded, or one we're afraid to use. So we have these disciples that started to go out and cast out spirits. Jesus gives them instruction. Hey, you need to pray, you need to fast, you need to be in the right mind, you need to have belief. Because the unbelief will cause you to fail. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means hurts you, shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subjected to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You see, we can even get overconfident. 70 did. So we need to be wary of that. You see, last time we talked, we read through Luke, chapter 11, 21 through 26. And in there, it talked about how Jesus was talking about the strong man. He says, how are you to overtake the strong man that's clad in his armor, that's fully prepared? You're to bind them so that you can go in and take from them. And then you get his spoils to distribute. And when these spoils come, when the strong man's been defeated and the demons cast out, and these spoils are there, we're not to rejoice in what just happened from a, oh, we've got authority over demon standpoint. Isaiah chapter 53. Verse 12. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. You see, all those spoils of that spiritual war are his, Jesus Christ, to distribute. And why did God give that right to him? Because he's the one that became a curse for every one of us. He became one with the transgressors. Because of what he did, it's his. And any time we're in one of these incidents of spiritual warfare, we need to praise Jesus Christ at the end. Because he deserves those spoils. He deserves the spoils of our spiritual warfare. Now, we've gone through in these five parts over 72 passages on spiritual warfare. When I started the research for this, I had over 200 passages. And I trimmed them down. We just scratched the surface of what this has to offer you on spiritual warfare. Just scratch the surface. What I've tried to do on the rest of this page, for those of you who have it, it's on there. For those of you who don't, I've got two more copies here. I tried to break down some of the stuff we covered in these five parts into four sorts of scenarios and just gave you some guidance with some verses to back them up on the types of things that you could pray in these situations. Like the first one, breaking curses. An example would be, Father, we come by the precious blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. We stand on your word. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having served as a curse for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for serving as a curse for us, and we now claim your precious blood to take away all curses. By authority given to us, we break the following curses. And you can call them out. And if you want to know where that comes from, that's Galatians 3:10. I put it right there on there for you. If you're dealing with a strong man who's involved here, and you need to loose their chains of power, you need to cut their power base to the smaller minions that you're fighting with. Blinding the strong man and loosing the cords of power. Father, we stand on your word and bind up the ruling spirit of, insert whichever one the discernment gives you, with the chains from heaven. By the authority given to us, we bind you up hand and foot. We loose all cords of power between the ruling spirits and the spirits in this person and cast them off in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you want to see that, that's Matthew 16:19. That's where that comes from. If you have gates that you're dealing with, the stronghold of Babylon, where it's gates. We talked about this the time before. Father, we stand on your word and bind the gatekeeper in the name of Jesus Christ, who has the key of David. What gate or door he opens, none shall close, and what gate he closes, none shall open. By the authority given to us, your two-leveled gates are torn down, your pillars are knocked down, your walls are smashed. No stone shall stand on another. And if you want the verses for that, that's Revelations 3:7, Isaiah 22:22, Ezekiel 21:15 through 22. That's tearing down the gates of spiritual strongholds. Casting out demons into dry places. In the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of his blood, we command you to come out and leave. You spirit of, insert what discernment gives you, and cast out in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we stand on your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we dry up your waters, your seas, your rivers, your springs, and cause a drought on your land. You shall find no rest. There is no water. There is only the blood of Jesus Christ. Matthew 10:1, Luke 9:1, Luke 8:26 through 40, Acts 16:16 through 19, Matthew 12:43 through 45. We went through a lot of verses, but we just scratched the surface. Hopefully you've got some weapons now. If you confess Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, great. You have faith. Now show me some works. There's people out there that are lost. They're bound by Satan. They're lied to. They're deceived. They're held in oppression. And they'll be dragged right down to hell. Do you want to stand by and let it happen? Somebody in your life is there so that you can lead them to Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the authority you've granted all of us that believe in your name and believe what your Son has done for us, that confess him as Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, guide us and lead us out into the battlefront. Guide us to those souls that you've put in our path. Those specific battles you've put for us to demonstrate our faith. Heavenly Father, help our unbelief. Strengthen us in the knowledge of your word. Heavenly Father, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ upon our lives. We thank you for sending your Son so we may be freed from curse. Thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.